This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
204 at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. Good afternoon and welcome to your Afternoon Drive. The numbers here are 490-5858. Toll free, find us at 800-776-5858. On Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook Live, you'll find the show at Drive KMJ. Joshua Weekly stands by to screen your calls this afternoon as I join Skip Echeverria back in the KMJ studio.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Got a busy afternoon stretching out in front of us. We will be talking about the testimony heard today on Capitol Hill, officers recalling January 6th from the most horrifying front row seats that I could possibly imagine. We're going to talk about Simone Biles pulling out of the gymnastics for the day, I think, and what that means both for her and for USA Gymnastics. We're also going to talk about the rapidly evolving rules, orders, edicts, policies about face masking and vaccination requirements in certain workplaces. And we're going to be talking with a guest from one of the local school systems here to kind of break down how they arrived at the policies they arrived at and what it means for staff, students, and possibly needing to either disclose or just mask up, period. But I wanted to start with something just a little bit lighter, something a little more positive, because there's some heavy stuff coming down the line today. Shark Tank. Ever watch Shark Tank, Mark Cuban?
I'm familiar with it. I'm always nervous for the folks that are up there with their big moment to try and sell their product to investors, because that takes a lot of courage.
Takes a lot of courage, and to get anything resembling a decent offer takes a real idea. You can't just show up and be the next, like, so I've decided to make What Would Tyler Do soap on a rope and think that that's going to sell. We got a couple of guys now from Orange County, one of them a Fresno native. Fresno State alumni Matt Walsh and his buddy Dax Holt went on Shark Tank and nailed it. Walsh is the co-founder and CEO of Trophy Smack. This is an online store for custom fantasy football, basketball, and baseball trophies, as well as fantasy sports rings and championship belts.
Walsh and his business partner and co-founder Dax Holt appeared, and they were looking for $600,000 for 8% equity. Mark Cuban offered them $600,000 for 17% equity. So they had to just, well, a little over double. But these products are fun. I'm sending a link to trophysmack.com to Mr. Skip and his buds, because the fantasy football thing is big. And oftentimes, you know, they have like the plaques that they can put their names on or whatnot. But these are way cooler and actually like affordable. $50-$60, you get to walk around with your own fantasy football stunner ring. It's so silly. I love dudes in their sports stuff.
Well, and Matt and Dax really tripped across just a cool idea. So Matt's at Fresno State. One of his professors back in 2006 tells him, get into supply and logistics. Then you'll understand, you'll really understand how businesses work. So Walsh blows off offers from Morgan Stanley and Wells Fargo and ends up at a local freight brokerage. He's a junior sales executive.
About the same time, Walsh was running the vending route for Red Bull and opened Young Chefs Academy in Fresno. I remember this while back. So that kids could come in and do cooking classes.
Yeah.
So always an entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's it, your brain's got to be wired a certain way to just have the energy to keep doing this. So Walsh is talking with friends from high school and college that are all doing fantasy football and baseball. He had never done it. He had never been involved in a fantasy sports. Well, no, because he's out learning how to run a business and set up and sell off businesses of his own. He doesn't have time to screw around.
There are lots of very successful people that manage their teams. You are also in the presence of a winner.
Barack Obama.
I should have a couple of championship belts looking at this because I won the pigskin pool I don't know how many times.
Oh, was this one of those? Well, I chose the Bears to win because, of course, a bear could eat a dolphin.
Thing. No, I never chose it that way or by who was the hottest in their uniforms. No, I had strategy. I had Vegas odds and I won all the time. All the time.
Oh, you went scientific on it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
That tracks. So Walsh can't find anything online back in 2017 besides like generic grade school trophies. Every town has a trophy shop.
Yeah.
You know why every town has a trophy shop? Because trophies suck to ship. They break so easy. And if you just get a box full of carefully padded trophy parts, you're going to find out what the trophy maker knows. That they're kind of cheap prefab stuff and that the real magic is in the presentation. Mm-hmm. But Walsh, understanding, having followed his professor's advice and gone out and participated in supply chain and logistics work, had figured out that he was going to be able to package these things and sell them and move them around the country safely, and that there's a hole in the market with 30 million Americans playing fantasy football and nobody making trophies for them.
Yeah, so the first year he starts putting out a product. They're unique. They're fun. They're different. It's way better than the plaque that the guys have for their, I don't even know what their team name is, something lame. But anyway, the first year makes $900,000 in revenue. Decides put all the money back into inventory. Next year, $1.9
million. So now they're doing basketball, baseball, belts, rings. And there's a variety of things that you can lay into here. Depending upon what you want to spend, I mean, you can get a legit, like, legacy grade, this is going to be a family heirloom kind of trophy. And you can just get, you know, I'm paying off a bet, so here's a $50 plastic ring.
You could also get, like, a legit People's Choice Award belt made. I'm just saying. I don't need a plaque. I mean, and that picture you have in the office is really nice from Senator Borges, the big recognition, but I would love a belt. This is a great idea. You know what, ladies, don't leave this just to men. Start doing this for sweet 16 parties, retirement parties, you name it. And you're going to be supporting a local boy.
Absolutely. Look, these guys identified a spot in the market. They're on track, even with the pandemic and all the crap that's going on. They were able to grow the business in 2020. They bumped up to a $2.1 million gross in 2020.
In a time when people were, a lot of companies were shutting down, I mean, this was an opportunity, even with the weird sports year, to make a profit and make a big one. So that's cool. That's a cool Shark Tank idea, and I wouldn't be surprised if, like, my husband got this for his next anniversary.
This is if you've got a significant other who's into sports, who's into fantasy league, who's doing that whole scene, this is a safe bet for an oh wow for at least one occasion.
Oh yeah, it looks really fun.
And thanks to Frank Lopez over at the Business Journal for bringing it to our attention, because that's just a cool story with a nice local tie-in. If you want to check it out, trophysmack.com is the website, and it's trophies, belts, rings, draft boards. They've got some pretty entertaining loser gear.
They even have a whole corporate section, by the way, because I know our company gives out the little squishy wolves. You know what I'm talking about? The little, like, what are those called? They're like stress balls. That says a lot. That you get when you're a leader.
Sulu the Husky, yes.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, well, how much cooler would it be if you got a bronzed bull fighting a bear? I mean, like, come on. there's great opportunities here. You should check it out. And again, that's linked up on our social media.
So that was a very cool stuff. Now, like I said, coming up this afternoon, we're going to be talking about masking requirements. We're going to be talking about what's happening at the schools here in town and the CDC recommendations for everybody. We're also going to get into today's hearing about the January 6th riot in Washington, D.C. I want to give you a heads up right now. When we get into that, we're going to be listening to some of the officers' testimony, and there's some strong feelings and there's some strong language. And I think that this is an occasion that absolutely warrants sharing that, because these four men absolutely deserve to be heard. Closer to town, Kenneth Allen Jackson. Was it just last week that it popped up and you had the district attorney in Madera County waving their hands about this? Kenneth Allen Jackson is the convicted Yosemite Lakes Park arsonist. This guy was endangering people's lives, and he was out of the blue set for release after serving less than a third of his original sentence. And it was announced today that he's being held over for another 6 months. Meanwhile, State Senator Caballero is making no shortage of noise about this guy just being turned loose into the community. Nobody in Madera County wants this man back.
No, and I think if you wouldn't have seen such an active pushback from the senator, and then also I know that the Madera County District Attorney was on with Broski and Musan yesterday talking about it. Sally Marino, I think, was here in the studio, was talking about if there wouldn't have been such a push, I don't think that people would have particularly noticed. This is a serious issue with release of criminals, because this isn't, how do you even count this as nonviolent? He was setting things on fire.
Well, and intentionally setting his fires downhill from occupied structures.
Right. With the implication then that he was going to do damage.
With the intention of harming people.
Between stories like this coming up and the story that we shared yesterday, for instance, about the former U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer being assaulted and her phone stolen while at a store or whatever it was up in the Oakland area. These are the things that the governor is not going to be able to hide from or hope it gets out of the news cycle.
Everybody in the California state legislature that voted in favor of Prop 47, everybody who voted to truncate and effectively castrate the three strikes and you're outlaws, this has to be the lead ad for whoever's running against them. But this is... You know, we talk about it in such broad terms, like when we're talking about tax code and stuff, and I think it's easier to stomach when we're talking about something kind of as nebulous as the tax code, be it through the state of California or be it the federal income tax rules. And we can get mad about it, and we can be irritated, and we can look at our paychecks and wonder how in the world things got so far out of control. But the emotion's not there, because you're talking about money that was never really in your bank account. And so you can be mad about it, but maybe not quite the same pitchforks and torches kind of angry. In a situation like this, you have this crystal clear case study in a person endangering lives who is going to serve way less than what they were sentenced to because of a bunch of convoluted good time and mandatory release, and how do we define violent offenses, and is it really a violent offense if nobody actually got hurt, and you know, are property crimes the same thing? This is a perfect example of why sentencing and prison time should not be subject to the same loopholes and soft-headed reinterpretations. This guy was going to kill people. If he had continued doing what he was doing, if he's allowed to go free to continue to behave that way, innocent human beings are going to be grievously injured or killed.
During a time where we're already seeing an uptick in fire activity, the burnout and struggle to keep enough people working on these fires during a drought season. Yeah, send the guy out who's literally setting things on fire out into the mix.
But he's not violent.
Setting fires is a big red flag in the DSM, so I mean, I think that counts for something.
Is it true that arsonists are bedwetters?
I'd have to see a Venn diagram to see what the overlap is.
It's a new era in news talk, only on News Talk 580-1059 KMJ.
So we're jumping into mask talk and the latest from the CDC here in a moment, but I just want to provide some folks weighing in online, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram as well. Thomas said he ordered his Bane mask, is really looking forward to see if that's going to fly as we're moving forward with CDC regulations. And Janelle just letting us know it took 15 months for her to find a mask she doesn't hate. She ordered a couple more because lo and behold, the CDC is recommending some adjustments to your mask wearing, even if you are fully vaccinated.
No. Sorry, what?
This was coming. The state had put out a statement about masking in schools. Locally, Fresno County made the announcement that coming up in the new school year, just get ready for it. Masks across the board. We saw the protests outside of the Clovis Unified School District meeting not too long ago. That was last week. Well, the CDC is now recommending masks to be worn in schools regardless of vaccination status for indoor schools K through 12.
Yep. Teachers, staff, students, and visitors, regardless of vaccination status, recommended that everybody, K to 12 schools, wear a mask indoors. Children should return to full-time in-person learning in the fall with proper prevention strategies in place. Now, this is a little bit of a variation from the guidelines that had been released just earlier this month. And this is, has this not been one of the dominant themes of communication across coronavirus? Hey, here's what we think is probably going to be the way things are going to go and might be a good idea. Whoops, actually, we've changed our minds and we think that something a little different is probably going to be what's in order.
Yes, I think so. I think also there haven't been edicts put out very far in advance without trying to understand what vaccination rates look like, what cases look like, and frankly, in some ways, how as a society, as a population, we're failing to get a handle on that. So then we got to move to this.
So this is following a recommendation from the American Academy of Pediatrics that says that all children aged 2 and older wear masks in school regardless of vaccination status. And all of this is in response to the spike in reported COVID-19 cases, and especially the resurgence that's being driven by the Delta variant.
And the fact that those numbers are coming from the younger population. Because when we talk about kids going back to school, it's only 12 plus that can get vaccinated at this point. President Biden had made some suggestions that we might see vaccinations by September, you know, or pushing into the fall. I've been probably sorry, but not sorry, bugging my pediatrician about it to see if there have been any updates to see when we're going to, if parents want to get their kids vaccinated, how is that going to look? And right now we want all kids to go back in August. There's not enough room to social distance them inside. You didn't miraculously fix all the ventilation over the summer. So we got masks.
One of my great frustrations as a parent has been the realization that the will of the taxpayer is not with the school system. Now, there is something to be said for school administrators making in the case of superintendents, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year. In a town the size of Fresno, that seems unconscionable. And a whole building full of people that are all making six-figure salaries that have no contact whatsoever with students. Meanwhile, you've got teachers working well outside of any contracted hours, and you've got classrooms that are in sometimes unbelievably bad condition. Old books, old facilities, poorly maintained HVAC systems. And so the solution then for the kids is not, okay, we're going to expand out. It's not we're going to get those classroom numbers back down to something manageable, understanding that you can't go around and build an entire nation worth of new schools in the course of a summer. But the reaction is, oh gosh, well, I guess everybody's just going to have to wrap their face in paper towels because we got to go back.
I've worked with quite a few kids in the 11 and up age range in public schools, and these are kids in Clovis that don't have a problem with it. You know, our kids will go back and they'll wear masks, and three of the four of them are vaccinated. I think what you're going to see is a big pushback from parents. But like, what do you want? Like, what do we want? Do we want them in school? Do we want them in school full time? Because it can't be like it was before. It's not going back there. And I feel like sometimes the more pushing and screaming and screeching and kicking back, like that's what's got us here. That's why we have only a 40% vaccination rate in the Valley. But we're not as bad as some places around the United States.
Yeah, not as bad. When we get back, we're going to talk with the Senior Director of Strategic Communications and Public Affairs for the California State University System. Uhlenkamp will join us after news on KMJ.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today. This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
2:38 on the Afternoon Drive. It's News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. Philip Teresi and Skip Echeverria. Joining us now, the Strategic Director of Communications and Public Affairs for California State University, Mike Uhlenkamp, joins us. Mike, thank you for making time for us. And sorry about the mix-up with your name earlier. I thought I had something much more exotic going on here, but thank you for joining us and making time today.
Sure, happy to be here. Thanks for checking in, Philip.
So I understand that the CSU system has settled on what they are demanding from staff, students, and teachers going into the new year. Can you give us the bottom line answer? What do folks going to CSU campuses need to expect when school starts?
Sure. So earlier today, we announced that we will be implementing a COVID-19 vaccine requirement across all 23 campuses. Previously, we were awaiting FDA approval, but we're about a month out from probably the majority of our campuses in their first day of class. Couple that with the fact that we haven't received the approval. No one's received the approval. But couple that with the fact that the alarming increase in the number of COVID cases due to the spread of the Delta variant has caused a lot of concern. So the chancellor and the 23 presidents were unanimous in deciding that we would move forward with this requirement now.
So for students that are planning to come back to campus in the fall, when are they going to need to have their vaccinations filed, complete, and done?
It's going to vary from campus to campus because we have different academic calendars, but the system-wide deadline is September 30th. So we're announcing this now so that if anyone is not vaccinated, they have time to get one or two shots and then be 2 weeks beyond that so that they could declare that they are fully vaccinated.
Mike, one of the key points of pushback that we have heard about vaccine requirements is something that you actually mentioned in explaining what the standard would be, and that is presently a lack of FDA approval. So this is still an emergency provisional approval for an experimental treatment. Is there an expectation that you're going to see folks trying to litigate this requirement on that basis, that this hasn't received that FDA approval as yet?
It's hard for me to say, but I think that's a safe assumption. You know, I think whether it's any one of the three vaccines that's currently available in the United States, they are going to be the most researched vaccines in the history of mankind. So I think it's safe to say, and the evidence shows right now that the vaccines are safe. And our leadership at the university, whether it's at the chancellor's office or at the campuses, feel that this is the right direction to go to maintain the health and well-being of all the folks that are on the campuses come the fall. We did announce back in December that the hope was to have the majority of courses and activities take place in person so that, hopefully Skip is in a classroom and in person this year and vaccinated and everybody's ready to go.
So I'll be honest, part of the pushback we got when this started to float around was a lot of parents saying, well, my kid's not going to go there. Can you explain to us a little bit, though, about some of the rules and regulations that come into play when you are dealing with adult students? Because I think that that's an important part of this, because they're either going to get vaccinated or they're not going to be on campus, right?
That's correct. So, the hope is that the announcement today, again, encourages people to receive that vaccine. We want as many people to get vaccinated as possible, and that's really in the interest of everyone. So it's not just in Fresno, but it's in Southern California, Northern California, San Diego, et cetera. I think, we have a policy that we're working to develop that's going to allow for exemptions. So if people have medical issues or religious beliefs against the vaccination, they can declare that. But again, we're hoping that this encourages people to get vaccinated. There's the potential to have additional virtual instruction. So we know that that's something that we're good at. We learned how to do that really good over the last year. So there's going to be more virtual offerings than there was prior to the pandemic. So that is a potential solution. If you haven't received a vaccine, there are a number of campuses that are offering them that are serving as vaccination sites right now. So each of the campus presidents is also going to work with the student health centers to ramp up the availability. So not only is it potentially available on the campus, if they don't have it on the campus, they're building partnerships with their local Rite Aid or local hospital so that if you're not vaccinated today on July 27th, you can go get that shot or multiple shots and be fully vaccinated by the time the semester starts.
Our guest is Mike Uhlenkamp, Senior Director of Public Affairs for the California State University System. And Mike, obviously with the past 18 months under our belt, CSU has figured out how to manage online instruction and how to offer something adequate for students who are immunocompromised or who have a legitimate religious exemption. But there are situations where zooming in is not going to get the job done. There's labs, things like that, where they're going to have to lay hands. Is there a plan to accommodate? Is there a workaround? What's CSU looking for in that way?
Well, it's going to depend on the campus and the program. You know, to your point, there are a number of programs where you do have to get into a classroom. And so for students that are planning on accessing a campus, we are going to require a vaccination. There are potentially offerings. It's not going to be the exact same, and it's not a perfect offering, but that's kind of the situation that we're looking at right now. It is going to vary, and it's going to differ based on the campus and the programs that are offered. You know, for example, we have a Maritime Academy where the great majority of students are together on a training ship, and those students are going to need to be vaccinated because they're all going to be close to each other. And then we have a number of campuses with 40,000 students or close to 40,000 students where you might see more online offerings.
Looking forward to the fall semester, if students are concerned, are there people that they can call on their local campuses, let's say Fresno State, to get pointed in the right direction? Or should we keep an eye out for more outreach coming from the local universities? How's that going to look?
There's definitely going to be more information to come. As and I believe I mentioned this, that the policy is still going to be finalized. So it will explain what the exemptions are going to be. And then each campus is going to be responsible for receiving those certifications. So that process needs to be fully fleshed out by the campus. Some campuses could choose to ask their faculty and students to demonstrate their proof of vaccination up front, or they might simply ask them to certify that they have been vaccinated and then collect that information a little bit down the road. Campuses will be communicating that with their campus communities in the very near future.
Mike, how absolute at this, and I understand that this policy is still being firmed up, how absolute is this policy going to be in regards to campus housing? Is there going to be room for exemptions there, or is that going to be a hard line?
Well, there will always be room for exemptions based on the either medical or religious beliefs. Throughout the course, well, at least going back to the beginning of the year, as we've been looking at planning for the fall 2021 term, the campuses had the discretion to potentially request or require that specific populations of students would need to demonstrate their vaccination. So those would be students that are living in housing or student athletes. And that's because that's considered more of a privilege to participate in those activities. So I unfortunately can't speak to whether or not Fresno had already implemented that, but it is something that very well could have been the case already that, for example, the entirety of the football team is going to be required to be vaccinated. Unfortunately, the campus, the folks at Fresno State are going to have to be able to speak to that.
Got it. Mike, I really appreciate the time and the information today.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the time.
Mike Uhlenkamp, Senior Director of Public Affairs in the Strategic Communications Office for the California State University System. And a little bit to digest there, but honestly, the fact that there's exemptions for immunocompromised, for legitimate religious objection, and that there's an effort towards accommodation for those students, I think the only way that it's a lot to digest is if you were politically opposed to getting vaccinated.
Well, and even on that point, we have more and more GOP leaders coming out and saying, get vaccinated. The piece of it that stood out to me, all 23 university presidents on board, a unanimous decision, this impacting 56,000 faculty and staff, 486,000 students. That's a lot of shots, and our vaccination rate's going to go up in the next couple months. So in a move we didn't see coming from the Tokyo Olympics, our girl, the one that was going to break the records, win the gold, bring back the gold medal again, especially over the Russian team, Simone Biles has pulled out, withdrawn from the gymnastics final, the United States team earning a silver medal in her absence. But this was a big story I don't think people saw coming.
So as I understand it, she drew out of an event today, but she still has one more solo event that she is entitled to participate in tomorrow or later today.
Time change messes things up. I mean, she's so big, Twitter gave her her own goat emoji. Like, greatest of all times, if you see that around. But the pressure was mounting on this young woman, and she decided to withdraw, pointing out that she did not have an injury.
Yeah. So this was a mental health move.
Yeah.
It's getting to be too much. I got to step back.
Yeah. She said, we have to focus on ourselves because at the end of the day, we're human too. So we have to protect our mind and our body rather than just go out there and do what the world wants us to do. And the world was looking for her to just blow it out of the water in terms of, I mean, the difficulty of her moves. And if she didn't have her head in the game 100%, you could really hurt yourself.
Yeah, that's no joke. I mean, look, muscle memory counts for something, training counts for something, but at this level, mental focus is, I don't know if it's half the gig, but it's enough of it that it matters. She's made this decision. She withdrew from one event. Do you think she'll be back tomorrow for that last solo event?
You know,
or is that going to be contingent on whoever's there with her, who loves her, takes her phone away from her?
Oh, God, you bring up a good point, because I don't know if people love seeing a winner more or they love seeing a winner become human, and particularly women in sport become just punching bags for people that all of a sudden are just, you know, have everything to say about gymnastics or women's tennis most recently. But I don't know. I don't know like what else she needs to check off boxes to feel successful, or if she's okay with making this decision and just being done.
She's already a gold medalist. She's a household name. She is one of the most recognizable Olympians of all time, period. She does not have anything left to prove. Now, me being able to say that as an outside observer is a very different thing than whatever mental process she's got going on. She didn't go back to the Olympics this year to sit it out.
She's actually been an advocate for the younger people on her team, bringing them along with her in her success while the spotlight and growing pressure has been on her.
Do you think... and I know this isn't a particularly PC attitude to take about it, but do you think that this year, that we've seen this emphasis on the desexualization of uniforms and people wanting to cover up a little bit more and people putting their hand up when they're getting their cage rattled because they chose to wear something slightly more revealing, and now you've got this unbelievably high visibility woman with an unbelievable skill set saying, for my own sanity, I had to step away. Is all of this Olympic self-care coming off of the pandemic? Is this people having spent too much time up in their heads?
I think that this is, we're seeing it in athletes now, but I think we're also seeing it across the board with people who are deciding to have major changes in, let's say, their occupations, right? Like, they don't want to go back to the job that they were grinding away at and not feeling appreciated or fulfilled. The same can be said about Olympic level athletes, because this year gave us a lot of time to think about priorities. Now, the difference with Biles is there's a whole world demanding that she show up and put on a show. And she said, no, thanks.
I feel like she should be proud of herself, because that's a lot of pressure to just keep going. We may come back around to this, because there's more to this than just a quick 5 minutes. But when we get back, we are going to talk about testimony in Washington, D.C. today about January 6th and the Capitol riot. It's Philip and Skip on your afternoon drive at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ.